I'm Andrew Green, and this is the Thursday edition of Flick Pick, the edition of the show where Jacob Holmes and I talk about the new movies coming out at the cinema any given week. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So we didn't get to do the box office preview last week.
No, because I was out.
You were out of town, but you are back. And, you know, this weekend we've got, what, two new movies opening up in Bentham?
We're in one of the weak months of the movie going year, January.
Oh, indeed, January is the dumping ground.
But it's also a time where we also get some awards season contenders expanding from their limited release.
This is true.
But that's not really the case this year. This is a pretty low key weekend.
That it is. Looking at the new films here, I mean, well, one of them that's playing potentially could be an awards contender.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, let's talk about that one first. It's Mary, Queen of Scots.
Mary, Queen of Scots, yes. This is a, I hesitate to say biopic mm-hmm. about Mary, Queen of Scots. This stars Saoirse Ronan. One mm-hmm. of my favorite actresses today, as the titular character, and Margot Robbie as Queen Elizabeth I.
Right,
and this is kind of about the kind of power struggle between the two quote unquote royal sisters.
Right, it's a period piece. It's got lots of fancy costumes, and you know you want to see it for Saoirse Ronan. I want to see it for Margot Robbie.
Well, I like Margot Robbie too, but of the two actresses, Saoirse Ronan is my favorite.
Right. Well, so they were both nominated for Best Actress last year.
This is true.
For I, Tonya and Lady Bird. So what's the buzz on Mary, Queen of Scots?
Pretty mixed reviews. Like I said, I don't think this is going to get any awards buzz. It really hasn't yet anyway.
Interesting. You know, it looks like it should be an awards movie. But it
does. You would think a movie like this, or at least would at least be a lot more well received, but it just kind of feels like one of those movies that's just kind of there.
Okay, are the performances at least getting praise? Do you know?
Well, I got to imagine that at least the two leads are good.
Mm. Who else is in this besides Saoirse and Margot?
David Tennant is in this.
Oh yeah.
And there's somebody. There's another name I can't remember off the top of my head.
I'm gonna find out right now.
All right. But yeah, the biggest complaint I'm hearing about this movie is that like it plays too loose with the history.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you're going in looking for like a revealing kind of story, you're not going to get it.
All right. Well, it's Mary, Queen of Scots. I can see you know, it having its audience at least.
Right. I mean, this looks like the kind of movie that you'd probably pull up on Netflix in a few months.
So watch for it on Netflix. I'm looking at the cast right now. It's also got Tom Petty. Is that who you're thinking of?
No.
That just rhymes with Tom Petty. I'm looking here. Simon Russell Veal?
No.
I'm not seeing any other big names.
All right. Well, maybe I was wrong.
Taking a gander at the cast. Then again, it's
Guy Pearce.
Yeah, Guy Pearce. Okay. The cast the cast is arranged weird on IMDb. It's one of those deals. But anyway, you know, it's Saoirse Ronan, Margot Robbie, period piece. You know,
it is what it is.
Royal shenanigans.
Yes, that's one way to put it.
So that's one of the new films that you could see at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor this weekend. And then the other one is, what is this, a horror movie?
I think so.
You think so?
It's labeled a psychological thriller.
Okay.
This is the big wide release, by the way. Oh. This is Escape Room.
Okay, I am looking at the trailer for it now, and yes, I've gotten this trailer before.
I've gotten this trailer before as well. So basically, it's a group of young adults who get lured to this escape room like facility mm-hmm. with the promise of like $10,000 if they win it, if they like solve the puzzles or whatever.
Okay,
and it turns out that all the puzzles are deadly. They'll kill you. They'll kill you. Basically, what this is PG-13 Saw.
You know what it reminds me of? It's Cube. Have you ever seen that movie?
No, I've not.
It's similar to Cube as well. So they're trapped in this place. So they'll go get killed if they set off the booby traps.
This looks like this is pretty much our January horror movie, pretty much.
Red Letter Media, the YouTube series, has a certain phrase that refers to the box office in January, but I can't repeat it here. Just search Red Letter Media.
All right, I'll look that up. But yeah, this is another movie that's just kind of there.
Right.
There's really no names in this. It's Yeah.
It's a Sony picture. It's, you know, PG-13 sort of horror
now,
film.
There are reviews coming in for this, and actually it's not, you'd think this movie would just be like
panned,
and it's not actually. It's not being panned, but it's like, the most positive comment I'm seeing is like, it's okay at best. So it's like, it's not nearly as bad as it could be.
It's one of those forgettable movies like that.
But it's about as good as it could be.
It's as good as possible. And that still ain't all that great. But, you know, it's probably okay. It also reminds me a little of the Belko experiment from a couple
years ago. Yeah. I guess a little bit.
All right. Well, you know, those are your two new films, Escape Room and Mary Queen of Scots. Are you interested in seeing either?
I mean, I want to see Mary Queen of Scots just to see the two lead performances, but I'm really not inclined to go out to the theater to see it.
You know, I'll probably actually be at Mary Queen of Scots this weekend.
I still have yet to see Aquaman or Bumblebee.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm behind.
I've seen both of those. So, you know, since we were out last week, or since our Thursday discussion didn't happen last week, we are a little behind. We can talk about things we've seen recently.
Yeah, that's true.
What did you see over the holiday break?
The only new movie I saw over the holiday break was Mary Poppins Returns.
And?
It's fine.
It's fine?
That's about all I can say about it.
So it wasn't bad, is the point.
Oh, no, it's not bad at all. It's a very well-made movie. I appreciate a lot of the craft that went into it. Mm-hmm. It does kind of have a throwback style, like a throwback to like the kind of movie, live-action movies that Disney used to make, which was nice.
Did they do the scenes featuring like hand-drawn animation?
Oh, yeah, that was the best part of the movie for me.
Okay.
There's a song sequence, and I liked all the songs too. There's a song sequence in that movie that takes place during that scene where the movie, I swear, just straight up turns into Chicago for like 5 minutes.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty fun, which is interesting because it's the same director as the Chicago movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he's worked with Disney many times before.
How was Emily Blunt in the?
Oh, she's fantastic.
Oh yeah,
she uses. You know, Julie Andrews' performance as kind of a foundation, a building block, but she really does make it her own.
Hmm. Well,
and from what I've read, it's actually a lot closer to the personality of Mary Poppins from the original books.
Okay. So is she a little more stern then?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, she is. But she plays it wonderfully. And Lin-Manuel Miranda, was really nice to see him in a big movie like this. I hope he gets me more. This isn't his first time in a movie role, but I think this is his biggest one so far.
Yeah, it's first I can think of. How much was Meryl Streep in the film?
Oh, like 5 minutes.
You think she'll get an Oscar nomination for that 5 minutes?
I actually don't think so.
All right.
It would be really funny. I think we mentioned this when we talked about this movie on our last discussion. She was also in it for Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again for 5 minutes earlier this year. I joked that she would get nominated for that.
She should get nominated for both.
Oh my gosh. I really don't think that's going to happen. I think this will be a Meryl Streep gap year at the awards season, the awards shows.
Perhaps the Academy last year realized they go a little overboard with nominating Meryl Streep all the time.
Well, she didn't even get nominated for a Golden Globe, so it's okay. So yeah.
Well, so that's that. You saw...
And then I saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse for a second time. So that was it.
And you love that movie, right?
Oh, I loved it.
Obviously, if you saw it twice. So, but would you recommend the Mary Poppins? To fans?
Yeah, I'd recommend it to fans. I can't tell you how you're going to feel about it. I saw the sequel with my mom, mm-hmm. and she grew up watching Mary Poppins. It's one of her favorite Disney movies. And she also enjoyed the sequel, but she had some complaints about it. She didn't think that the scenes transitioned as smoothly as they did in the original, which I kind of tend to have to agree. The things just kind of happen in this movie. And then she had a complaint about Ben Whishaw, the actor who plays the grown-up Michael Banks. He doesn't really look like the kid from the original, whereas the actress they got to play the grown-up Jane, Emily Mortimer, does actually look like the little girl from the original. Okay. But I didn't care about that. I like Ben Whishaw, so I gave it a pass.
How was Dick Van Dyke?
I mean, he was also in it for like 5 minutes, but it was really nice to see him.
Yeah, I like Dick Van Dyke. It looks like he did a dance number.
He did. He wow. Apparently, I read articles, he dances a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I mean, about as much as somebody at his age can do.
Right, that's what I'm looking
at. But seems like he's in pretty darn good shape, so.
All right, well, he's 93 years old. Did you know that?
Yeah, wow. I did. I think I just said that.
Oh, okay. Well, I was too busy typing.
That's all right. It's all right.
All right. Well, so it's, you know, that's one of the options. Mary Poppins returns.
Mary Poppins returns.
It's still playing locally now. Over the holiday break, I saw a bunch of movies.
Yeah, we also had Vice come out.
I saw Vice on New Year's Eve.
Nice.
And it's good. It's you know, it'll remind you of the Bush administration. So,
depending on how you feel about that.
But Christian Bale is fantastic in it. You forget that he's an actor playing Dick Cheney.
That's pretty cool. I read a review of Vice that said you could take Christian Bale's performance in this movie, because this movie is presented as kind of in a comedic tone, isn't it?
Oh,
it was directed and I believe co-written by Adam McKay, who was at the helm of a lot of Will Ferrell vehicles.
Such as
Anchorman and Talladega Nights. Mm-hmm. You could take this performance, put it in a serious movie about Dick Cheney and the Bush administration, and nothing would change. Like it would fit just the same.
Right. I think, you know, I like the fact that it had a comedic edge to it. I've seen some reviews where they say
it's pretty split. The reaction to this is pretty split.
I thought the film was very, very good. You know, all the performances were great. Steve Carell was very good.
I was just going to say, Steve Carell is Donald Rumsfeld. Tyler Perry is Colin Powell.
That one kind of stands out. Like, you cut and it's like Tyler Perry sitting there.
Who? You said Condoleezza Rice was in this movie. Who plays her? Do you know?
I don't know. She didn't do very much in the film.
It was just like one or two scenes.
Yeah, well, she was kind of just present for a lot of discussions, and she seemed to doubt Dick Cheney's decision-making.
All right. How is Sam Rockwell as Bush?
Fantastic. There's a key scene when Cheney is invited to go meet with George W., and he knows he's going to be offered the vice president slot.
So it's the scene that's presented at the beginning of the trailer for this.
Right. Just before that scene, Cheney's having a discussion with his wife, played by Amy Adams.
Oh, yeah. I forgot she was in this.
And she says, "You're not going to take that garbage job, are you? All the vice president does is sit around waiting for the president to die." And Cheney's kind of looking like calculating.
Uh-huh.
Then he meets with George W., and during his discussion, he kind of realizes, like, oh, I could kind of take over here. So he goes home and says to his wife, "This is a very interesting situation." Anyway, you know, if you're a big fan of the Bush administration, then you may not like Vice, but
Regardless of the split reaction to this movie, it is still getting big award buzz, particularly for Christian Bale's performance,
and it is deserved.
It kind of reminds me of last year, how Gary Oldman kind of transformed into Winston Churchill for Darkest Hour, and he went on to win the Oscar for that movie.
Right. That they are similar. Has Christian Bale won an Oscar before?
I don't think so. Well, I want to say he's been nominated.
I'm sure he has. He won for Best Supporting Actor in The Fighter.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
He was also nominated for American Hustle for Best Actor and The Big Short for Support, but he hasn't won Best Actor yet.
Gotcha.
So give it to him. He deserves it. There
all right. I'm just going over in my head like all the other people who are up for who could be up for Best Actor this year, and yeah, he seems like a front runner.
Yeah. All right. Well, other films I saw during the break. I finally saw Can You Ever Forgive Me?
That's right. It finally happened.
I had to go to the Vickers Theater in Three Oaks, which is a really nice place that I recommend.
Okay.
It was really neat. But anyway, Can You Ever Forgive Me? I saw it down there. No regrets. I actually ranked it number one on my top 10 list of the year.
Oh, awesome.
Melissa McCarthy is fantastic. Richard Grant is fantastic. More reasons for nominations there. I recommend checking it out if it comes to Benton Harbor. I'll see it a second time if it does.
All right.
I also saw Aquaman with my mom.
Okay.
It was okay, but I'm not as gaga about it as a lot of other people.
This is another movie that's getting kind of a split reaction. You're either totally on board for this movie's craziness or you're not.
I didn't mind the craziness. It's just it's too long, and there's stuff that could have been easily cut out. Like there's these endless fight scenes, and then like they had to work Black Manta in there.
Okay,
but nothing happens.
It's like they weren't sure they were going to be able to make another Aquaman movie, so they just figured, let's just throw everything in it just to satisfy everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, they spend time building up the villain, Black Manta, and then he goes and
fights. He's not even the main villain. It's Patrick Wilson.
Right, the main villain's Patrick Wilson, but they spend time building up Black Manta, and then he goes and fights Aquaman and loses. And
just disappears?
yeah, we're left to believe he maybe died, but he obviously didn't.
Right.
He'll be back. But, like, they kind of not stuck
him
in
this movie's
there.
Doing well enough at the box office. They probably will make another one.
Yeah, and I bet it'll be Black Manta as the villain. You know, by the end of the film, I was enjoying myself more. Once he became heroic, you know. And
okay.
It's okay.
I still very much want to see it just because I just want to see how crazy. I mean, it's an Aquaman movie. What do you expect going into something like that?
Okay, another gripe I have with Aquaman was the whole thing is Patrick Wilson wants to unite all the under-the-sea peoples to attack the
right,
people.
Right, to take over the world.
Yeah, to attack the people who live on land, because people on land, his ostensibly his reason for this is because the land people have been polluting the ocean for years. But this
that's the plot of Hayao Miyazaki's Ponyo.
Okay, so, but it's like, well, how about instead, before attacking the land people, you make your presence known to them and, you know, try to talk to them or something?
Try to do like some kind of Day the Earth Stood Still sort of thing?
Yeah, just at least let your presence be known instead of just attacking. They don't even know you're down there, really. There's rumors, but nobody's sure. Anyway, Aquaman's okay. I also saw Bumblebee. Which is this week's Flick Pick episode.
And strangely enough, it was the best reviewed movie of the entire holiday season.
I would
say Spider-Man probably was that. But Bumblebee, mm-hmm. for its weekend of release, was the best reviewed movie.
And it's very enjoyable. It's a good movie. It's got heart. It's shot well. Hailee Steinfeld's good.
It cleanses the palate of Michael Bay's previous Transformers movies.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I think they should just continue the franchise.
Well,
from here.
Unfortunately, this is also the lowest grossing
of course.
Because our American audiences have had to sit through five movies of Michael Bay's garbage. And now we're sick of it. Nobody wants to see another one.
I know. This one's good. People should go see it. And also, I mean, they released it against Aquaman, which didn't help, I don't think.
No. I mean, they released it in a very crowded season. That's true.
It's a shame because it's good. I would recommend checking out Bumblebee.
I very much want to see it.
You go check it out.
I stopped watching the Transformers movies after three.
I saw the first two. Last time we discussed this, I told you I saw one of them, but then I was watching a bunch of videos on YouTube, and I remember, okay, the one I saw in the theater was the first one, and I know I saw the second one. I just don't think I saw it in a theater, but I was recognizing.
Three was the only one I saw in the theater.
All right.
And I had seen two beforehand. I don't know why I went into three.
I don't know why I watched two after seeing one. I guess.
Well, I didn't think one was. I didn't think one was that was as bad as the sequels.
Yeah, I don't know. When I saw it in the theater, I walked out and I was just kind of like, "What was that?"
Well, Bumblebee has overcome its production budget at the box office. So
that's encouraging.
Yeah, that is encouraging. But I mean, we'll just have to see what happens there.
All right. Well, you know, we look at everything playing in Benton Harbor this week. Of course, Aquaman is available. Bumblebee is still going. Escape Room is one of the new ones. Green Book has two showtimes.
Oh, I still
film.
Need to see that movie.
It's good. Did I talk to you about
yes.
that?
Yes. Yeah, okay. We discussed it.
It's good. Holmes and Watson, the most well-received
film. Oh, that's right.
Film.
That movie came out.
This is the most critically acclaimed darling film to be released in a decade.
That's a lie, just so you know.
Yeah.
This is a movie that is apparently so bad that it is prompting mass audience walkouts.
Yes, indeed it is. You said you heard an anecdotal story from someone.
Yeah,
about-
Brett Witkowski was here at our studios on the sports station.
Okay.
And he was talking about it, how he and I think his wife went to go see it, and he said it was horrible, but he didn't walk out. But he said that the couple that was sitting next to them walked out of the movie partway right. through. Apparently, I just read this today. Sony, I think Sony produced this movie because, mm-hmm. of course, it was Sony. This movie tested so badly with test audiences that the studio tried to shop this off to Netflix see if Netflix would buy it to kind of salvage it, because they kind of do that.
Even Netflix was
no. Netflix said no, and they were just like, well, guess we got to put this in theaters and hope we make a little bit of money back.
Well, it looks terrible, and. By all accounts, it is terrible, but it's playing locally. You can see Holmes and Watson if you want.
It's one of those movies that you look at and you're like, oh yeah, Sherlock Holmes is a public domain property.
That is true. Also playing is Mary Poppins Returns. It's still a lot of showtimes.
Well, I mean, it's only been out for a week, so.
Yeah. Mary, Queen of Scots has 4 show times. That's where I'll probably be. I was thinking of heading down to the Vickers Theater again, but...
Oh, because they're going to show it too, right?
Yeah, they also got Mary.
Yeah, you don't have to make the drive now.
Right. Ralph Breaks the Internet has 2 show times.
The better John C. Reilly movie.
Isn't he in like 3 movies that are out right now?
He's in Ralph Breaks the Internet, he's in Holmes and Watson, and then he's in a movie called Stan and Ollie.
That's well received, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, anyway, you can see Ralph Breaks the Internet. Second act is still playing. That movie's been like, I don't know, I haven't heard anything about that.
It's just one of those movies that's kind of there.
Okay. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse still going, you recommend?
Oh, yes.
The Mule is still playing.
I'm probably not going to see this in the theater at this point, but I still want to at least check it out.
You know, maybe I'll see that instead of Mary, Queen of Scots. I don't know. But it's still going, the Clint Eastwood movie when he's a drug mule. Vice is still playing. I recommended it.
I do want to check out Vice.
As long as you're not a big fan of what happened from like 2002.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. My very conservative grandpa wants to see the movie.
Oh,
because he actually does not. I just learned this about him at Christmas. He said that he was not a fan of Dick Cheney. So
well, yeah, Cheney doesn't come across very well in the movie. There's only like one good thing.
So he probably might not mind that. So that was a little surprising tidbit that I learned.
Yeah, I'll say the one good thing Cheney does in the film is when his daughter comes out to him as gay.
Oh, that's right.
He is supportive.
Because that was kind of a big thing between that family, wasn't it?
It was a major political problem for him in Wyoming.
Because his other daughter was...
Yeah, his other daughter ran for Senate and had to come out against same-sex marriage, I guess.
Yeah, I think that was the story.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's nice to see that they kind of put that in there.
Yeah, Allison Pill plays his daughter in the film. I've seen her in something else. But anyway... And then also finally playing this weekend is Welcome to Marwen, which hasn't been well received, right?
No, and I believe it's kind of tanking at the box office as well.
Is it
not one of Robert Zemeckis' most acclaimed works?
It reminds me of a movie back in the early 90s called Radio Flyer.
Okay, I've heard of that, but I've never seen it.
Radio Flyer featured Tom Hanks, but it was a movie about a couple of kids who try to escape an abusive stepdad or something. And the movie had these crazy, like, emotional TV spots that were running, declaring like Radio Flyer, the greatest film experience of the year.
Okay, so trying to, it was an Oscar bait movie.
It was, and it was not any good. And to me, Radio Flyer will always be
an example. that does kind of sound like Welcome to Marwen.
All right, well, if you're going to see a film this weekend, what are you going to see?
I'm going to see probably Aquaman.
Aquaman. All right. I will be at probably Mary, Queen of Scots. But anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think so.
That's the weekend box office. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
That's been another edition of Flick Pick. I'm Andrew Green. I'll be back tomorrow with a review of Bumblebee.